Hey guys, it's DJ Jesse Janity, and I want to tell you guys a little bit about TrueCar. TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features may not be available in all states, but to see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey everybody, we are here live at AfterBuzz TV in Studio C. I am your host, Sarah Mendoza, and with me I have the lovely Kendra Cabasal.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the newsroom.
Yes, we are so happy to be back. And also on the line, we have the lovely Kelly Aliski. She is calling in live from Texas. She moved, so she's not going to be able to join us here in the studio, but she's going to be calling in as we recap our favorite show here, The Newsroom. I can't believe we're already in season 3.
I know,
it's so crazy.
But you know what? The break was way too long. I think we were all waiting for this day.
Yeah, it was long. It was a year.
And we're finally here, and they're not even going to give us enough episodes, are they?
We are only getting
6 episodes. For this season.
How are they going to wrap that all up in 6 episodes?
I don't know. I'm hoping that they're going to find out it's not able to be done, so they're going to extend it and add more episodes onto the docket there for us.
I hope so.
Yeah, but you know what? Regardless, I'm happy it's back. Episode 1, let's just hop right into it. The name of the episode is Boston. And when I read that on the news, before we even, you know, sat down to tune in tonight, I was like, okay, I know what this episode is going to be about.
Yeah, you called it.
I called it. So here we are, Boston Marathon. This was a huge news story back in April of 2013, which is a long time ago. I can't believe it's been that long. But this really was a big deal. It was all over the news. You know, communities, families everywhere across the U.S. and the world, they were tuned in as we were for this horrific event. And, you know, in true fashion, ACN was on the story, and that was the story that we covered tonight. That was the main piece. So how it broke, Mackenzie, like always, just happened to be, you know, keeping her eye there on the feed, and she noticed that something was going on in Boston. Okay, so she alerted the troops, right? And they got to digging. And what I really, you know, liked is that, taking from last season leading into this one, you know, more than just, you know, running with it right away, they're still trying to build a credible newscast, right? What did you think about how they handled it?
Well, they handled it well. First, I have to say Mackenzie is just so skilled. She had that eye, even, you know, carrying on her banter with with Will. She had her, you know, right, third eye on the news. And I think, I mean, it makes sense that they're being a little bit cautious, even though, you know, they want to stay competitive and stay on top of things. They suffered last time from their Genoa experience, and they want to make sure they get it all right this time. makes sense.
Right. And I thought it was funny that Will was trying to give that same speech that Mackenzie had last season, saying, you know, we don't do reality, we do the news. And she's like, hey,
that's
I
my
said
lot.
That.
Yeah.
I know. But it just...
He was really flubbing over that pep talk that he was trying to give.
Yeah. Right. It didn't come
couldn't
as...
really kick you.
Yeah, it didn't come as naturally for him.
Yeah, no, but I thought they were a little bit too overly cautious, and I think that they suffered for it. Because, yeah, I get it. The whole Genoa thing was awful and terrible, and they needed to, you know, kind of be careful about what they were reporting. But mm-hmm. also, you know, being so last and all that, I think, you know, was really kind of detrimental to, you know, what happens throughout the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I can see that. And, you know, it's, as we saw in the episode tonight, it is affecting their ratings. You know, and with the way our viewers are nowadays, you know, if the first one with the info, they're going to just gravitate towards that channel,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're just going to, if somebody's already got that story, they're just going to stick to that channel that they're watching. And if ACN is last, you know, there's, of course, their ratings might dip because they were the last ones to give that.
And also they were understaffed and, you know, half of them were on vacation and different things. So they were shorthanded as well, which also didn't help them out.
Mm-hmm. I think, and they're also their focus was to kind of, because they were last and they knew they were last, was to find something that the other stations didn't have. So to give them sort of an edge. You know.
Right. You could, I personally could feel that there was an anxiety, you know, about this process now because of the whole Genoa thing mm-hmm. that happened. You know, everybody is sort of on edge. They know that they can't push anything out there without, you know, Charlie saying, all right, go ahead, or, yeah. you know, and Mackenzie saying, go ahead. So, you know, you really saw them, the little ant workers, getting to work there and doing their due diligence. And it was only until they confirmed it, right, by the FBI, that those were actually two explosions that they ran with that story. Mm-hmm. So they did disregard, you know, the other stations. I think it was Fox was their biggest competitor of the night,
yeah.
right? Fox had the story first in this case. And then the Twitter feed was going crazy as usual.
And we see from the Twitter feed we have a new character that's, you know, kind of joined the actual newsroom now. You know, Jim's, you know, girlfriend from the campaign trail.
Right.
Is in the newsroom following the Twitter feed. And the, mm-hmm. the thing that I found really interesting about this and the way that they were handling it is, you know, she went through thousands and thousands of tweets, you know, people, you know, first-hand accounts from people tweeting about their experience and being there and watching. And, you know, they still weren't going with that because they didn't think of it as a credible source.
Right.
And I find that that's such a big debate right now, and it's such a big topic with news sources because, I mean, if you guys hear anything on the news, you know, once it's on Twitter, it's all over the place. You know, every other day, you know, there's, you know, Twitter's killing celebrities and doing all kinds of things that are, it really isn't true.
Right.
And it's just so interesting to see them tackle that on this, in this episode.
It's so true. I feel like citizen journalist, citizen journalism. It's, you know, it really feeds, I think, topics. It really feeds the story for tabloids, for reality television, for entertainment shows. But when it comes to news, I do see the point that, hey, guys, these are just average, everyday mm-hmm. people. They could be making crap up. You know,
it depends on the source, too, because right. I've heard, you know, breaking news stories from a Twitter feed or a Facebook post, but mm-hmm. it's usually from, a credible source. Like if you follow CNN or you follow, you know. But right. you're saying if it's mm-hmm. a third party.
Right. But even there, you know, it's still not an official, you know. An
right.
official confirmation.
But like, you know, like with this, people saying that they were at the finish line, they saw these explosions and
right.
whatever, and that's where you have to think that's, you know, probably where Fox got their news from first,
mm-hmm.
is people on the
right.
ground saying they saw that, who aren't necessarily journalists or actual sources,
right.
but just, you know, an everyday person that was just happened to be at the marathon talking about this.
And,
right.
And, you know, they were just lucky they didn't have to retract anything, like
right.
the way we find out that CNN needed to. You know, but also, Elliot is from Boston. He wants to go to his hometown. He wants mm-hmm. to do this this broadcast. And right. I thought it was cool that Jim suggested that Maggie go.
Yeah.
Right. So
and be the producer there.
Yeah. I like your point there, Kelly. I think that with people on the ground there, with witnesses saying that explosions happen, maybe they could have just reported on those facts alone
right.
from witnesses. Mm-hmm. But they should go on to say, and they even showed this in one of the scenes, you know, we don't know if this is because of a gas leak. We don't know if this is because of some sort of terrorist act. We don't know, you
right.
know, what this is. Mm-hmm. But we do know that there was an explosion. So I do see your point there that they could have ran with something.
Yeah, because
right.
it's basically eyes.
So at least, right. you know.
Sorry, go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just saying, like, yeah, no, that's right, too. At least acknowledge that something did happen because that, you know, that's not a secret. Something did explode, and they got it on camera. Something did happen.
Right.
Just not knowing exactly what it was in the middle of that, you know, big event.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so let's talk about Maggie. Like, you know, you just mentioned Elliot said that he wanted to go cover it on the grounds there in Boston because that's his hometown. Of course, they're going to send a producer out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they're sitting there deliberating who should report this or who should go with Elliot. And Jim, our Jim,
she
our favorite
lights up
here.
When she talks.
I know, as soon as this happened, suggests who?
Maggie. Which, it's interesting.
I know. That was okay. But one thing that I found interesting, though, too, is Will was like, look, if she doesn't deliver, she's out. I don't think she's, you know, I don't think she's right for this anymore. And
right.
Jim defends her.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, she's got this. She can do it.
You could see, you know, when they first kind of showed her for the
Again.
First time this season. Yeah. I said to Sarah, I said, oh, she looks good. Like, she
yeah.
looks like she's been recovering from, you know, the trauma of her last
mm-hmm.
report. And, and so, yeah, I kind of had
yeah.
that same confidence in her.
Yeah, she had her tiger focus back.
Yeah.
She was in the gym doing crunches, working out, you know, still had her cell phone next to her in case that breaking news story comes through.
And
lo and behold, when it did,
right.
you know, she finished her, what was it, like 50th crunch or something like that. And then she was like right out of that gym. She's like, okay, I'm out. I
yeah.
got to go back to work.
Yeah.
Right. Because that really is her priority.
Yeah.
And yeah, she seems a lot better. Even when, you know, they called her out and said, hey, Maggie, do you have a go bag?
Yeah.
You know, she's like, even the way she responds is such a huge difference than last season,
mm-hmm.
the tail end of last season, because as you guys recall, she completely was not herself.
Mm-hmm.
She was, you know,
right.
introverted. You know, she didn't do her hair.
Yeah, I mean, she was
whacked out haircut.
Yes.
She was traumatized.
She was a mess. She would just kind of mope around. She didn't have that fire that we knew from first season and the one that we're starting to, I see, flicker back again
mm-hmm.
in her career, in her life now. So, you know.
Well, that's the thing. She did a fantastic job
yeah.
in her stand-up.
Oh, yeah. So, way to go, Jim, for giving her a chance. Way to go, Maggie, for grabbing that go bag
yeah.
and getting her butt over there with Elliot. And, you know, not only was she on the ground there, right, guys, helping Elliot out, but when, you know, when he accidentally gets an allergic reaction here, what did you guys think about that? I thought he might have been faking it to give her a chance, but... Maybe not.
No.
I guess I was like hoping.
I think it was legit.
At least he doesn't have like a fatal allergy to walnuts and only his tongue swelled
right.
up. I mean, I was like picturing that his throat was about to close, like something crazy was gonna happen.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh no,
or something like from the movie Hitch, where his entire body
oh,
starts
my
swelling
gosh.
Up. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean. I'm sort of glad he ate that walnut and was allergic because that was Maggie's time to rock it with that stand-up. And, you know, they're right. Elliot was right. She knew the facts.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and she delivered them well.
Yeah,
she was
right.
able to keep up with Will and all of his questions. And,
yeah.
you know, she delivered.
She did it very, you know, with confidence. You could tell she was a stronger person.
Yeah.
And I even like, you know, Charlie's. I think it was Charlie, his comment after, did she just age, like, you know, 20 years?
Yeah, well, did she age just
something like that?
10 years, yeah.
I actually wonder
yeah.
if, you know, kind of dressing up in Mackenzie's mm-hmm. gear,
she,
you know, because
she fit the role. Maybe,
yeah, she may, maybe she felt she was stepping into Mackenzie's ways and kind of gained some of that, because it was her first on camera appearance.
I really love that reaction in the master control room.
Yeah,
well, it was funny when Mackenzie was like, "Be sure to, you know, dry clean it this way," and you know, like that was still her concern, even though they have this huge breaking story and she's about to do her first stand up. She's like, "Hey, take care of my dress, okay?"
Yeah,
yeah,
and then afterwards. What do you guys think about Jim's reaction after her stand-up?
Oh my gosh, he fell in love with her all over again.
He's back in love all over again.
Yeah, you could see that.
I would assert that he never fell out of love. Oh. And Grace Gummer is just a meantime kind of gal.
Oh.
She just handles the Twitter feed.
Ouch.
You know, no, just kidding. Clearly, I'm a Maggie and Jim fan, right?
Yeah, so. It's clear. Hashtag.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a huge story. I feel like, in my opinion, they covered it well. Yes, they could have ran with some facts a little early on, but they stuck to their guns with being, you know, credible and truthful more than anything, and just really reporting the news. Mm-hmm. Did you guys do you guys agree with that? How do you think they handled the story overall?
Kelly?
Overall, I think it was good, for sure. I mean, I was just reading on Twitter, though, that, you know, some people were a little upset with the writing and not differentiating Waterton from Watertown. So I think that's just kind of a little bit of a mishap there, depending on where you're from and where you live. But that seemed to be a pretty hot topic on Twitter after the show was over.
Right.
Well, interestingly, and maybe that was on purpose. I don't know if, you know, because people pronounce it incorrectly sometimes, maybe that was a reflection of ACN, you know, because they're behind.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was...
Because they're still trying to come up from, you know, they're still on shaky ground.
Yeah. So maybe
that's true. Yeah. Maybe they just further are trying to exemplify, like, hey, these networks aren't perfect.
Right.
They're all human beings trying to put on a good news show.
Right.
Okay, so I think we can move on to the next topic here. My boy Neil, Jeff Patel, as soon as he came on the screen, I was
a fan of all the men on this show.
Oh, Neil. Neil is so naive and so cute. That poor kid is constantly getting himself in hot water.
Right.
Because he doesn't really have a supervisor, does he?
He goes straight to the big dogs there. He always goes up to Will and
but they kind of just say, run along, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, yeah, poor guy.
Right. So let's recap here with what happened with Mr. Neil. Okay, so apparently some unnamed source wants to give Neil some documents, okay? And these documents are unclassified and so important that they are talking about what, you know, encryptions and like, how do I get this to you? And he has an encryption type of program. I don't understand this encryption stuff, so I'm just kind of trying to make my way through this. But so they test it together and he says, no, you need something that's much more secure than this. And so he says that you need to get what do they call the computer?
It was
an air computer.
Basically, air gap.
Yeah,
an air gap computer.
Where it's never been
connected to the internet before.
Okay. Yeah. You guys are so in the CIA stuff more than me. And so not only do you need to get this air gap computer, but I'm going to tape this USB to a toilet in this restaurant at this location. And you shall pick this up. And it can be read with this air gap computer. Right? So Neil is excited by this opportunity. He takes it into the news meeting. He delivers this idea. And how do they react, guys?
Well, not so favorably. But, you know, they kind of keep giving him chances to prove that he knows what he's talking about. Which and that may be the thing, that maybe they feel the same as you do, Sarah. They're like, what? Air gap?
Yeah.
You know.
I feel like they allow him to speak because they have a hope for, they know his potential.
Yeah.
And they know he wants it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know Neil wants it. You know he wants to be a good newsman. And, but when they hear his story, they kind of just, again, laugh it off and say, okay, Neil.
Right.
Whatever.
How do you know he's credible? Oh, well, he's paranoid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that didn't go over so well.
So,
well, I think the thing about him, though, is he's constantly trying to give credibility to, you know, the kind of like his universe of people. You know, they're constantly making fun of them, crackpot jokes and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, really you know, some of them are just really smart, tech-savvy people that are hacking in and finding out all this, like, you know, conspiracy-type information that may not always be such a crackpot theory. And I think that's, you know, Neil's always fighting that good fight to kind of give a voice to these people that the one in every so many could potentially have real information.
This is true. Yeah. And, you know, in this case, so news meeting ends. He feels like he was treated as a joke, maybe. But who comes up to him? But Will, of course. Because Will seems to have a soft spot for Neil, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
He hands him a credit card.
Okay.
Says, go buy a Gap computer.
Yeah. He says, hey, go ahead and buy that Gap computer. Let's see. Air Gap computer. Air-gap. Let's see what this is about. And Neil is, of course, excited by this, and he runs out of this newsroom right away to do so. Okay. So he buys his Air Gap computer. He gets his butt to the restaurant. Into the toilet stall. And he finds the drive.
The drive.
Yeah. Now, at this point, what were you guys thinking when he's at the toilet and he's pulling out the USB? Did we think this could be real, or were you guys still in speculation?
I guess I expected him to actually find a drive, but I still was, I guess, skeptical as to whether, you know, it would have been real. Like a real source, a real... You know, mm-hmm. a real find for the newsroom.
Sure. What about you, Kelly? At this point, are you thinking this is kind of like off the wall and like this could never happen to Neil of all people? Why does he always get, you know, the...
Well, no. I mean, I think it's, at least for me personally, you know, just watching it, I find that it is pretty interesting because, you know, he does monitor the website. He is the tech guy. He's on all the sites. He has to filter all of this.
Right.
So, you know, constantly having to research and, you know, they are, you know, supposed to be a legitimate news source. That's what they're striving to be. So he has to, it's got to follow every lead. He's got to check everything out. And, you know, I think something like this is bound to happen to him and he doesn't know better. And I think he's not savvy enough to know better. And I just think he's just too naive and just, you know, wanting to make sure that he has the right information. He's not thinking of the consequences with something like this. Like, he doesn't really understand, I guess, the level of which he could get in trouble for something like this.
Right. It's almost like he'll take any lead he can get, right? Because he's still trying to, you know, gain his bearings and improve himself in the newsroom.
Well, yeah, because if we remember from previous seasons, every time they had their news, you know, meetings in the morning or whatever time they, I mean, not in the morning, you know, they would make fun of all of his ideas and kind of...
Bigfoot.
Right. That was a big one.
That was a big one for him back in the day.
So he's just trying to, you know, guys,
this
listen
is true.
To me. Yeah.
Okay, so what happens? But Neil takes it home with his AirGap computer, and he plugs it in, and I think it was 26,000, right? 26,000, half of them classified, government documents load onto that computer. And he is just, like, wide-eyed, mouth, you know, gaping open in awe. Like, I cannot believe. I felt like he was in disbelief. You know, of course he would be. He was in disbelief about this actually happening to him.
Right.
So, you know, he takes it back to, or he heads back to the newsroom to let his team know. And, we come to find out that this PR, firm posted a slew of fake stories, fake incidents into the news, which then led to the death of, you know, 30 plus people.
38, I believe.
It led to rioting in the streets, these false stories that they were claiming, you know, one group was, you know, some group is fighting another group, caused chaos and havoc in this, you know, this area, and riots in the street, which caused 38 deaths.
Right. So it was stories for false riots, which led to the deaths. And, you know, Neil talking to this unnamed source, he really wants to bring it to Will and Mac, you know, so that they could cover the story, make things right. And in the process, he reveals that he asked them for more documents just so he can show them, you know, show Will and Mac how real this is. Okay, and he tells Will this.
Right.
But what's the problem here?
He just dug himself into a...
Right. huge legal hole. Mm-hmm. Because by doing so, he's now conspired to commit espionage and has literally committed a federal crime. Right?
By asking that, yeah.
Just by simply asking that question. Yeah. And when
poor Neil.
Yeah, poor Neil. And when Will sees, you know, when Will tells Neil that, you can tell, in my opinion, he had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
He had no idea what he was doing.
No. He just wanted to get a drive from a bathroom, and then this happened.
He's thinking, I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And I'm getting the story from my team, and it's now landed him in hot water, and also this unnamed source
right.
that we have yet to discover, because he's now going to get him in trouble for leaking these documents.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Will was like, all right, Neil needs a lawyer.
Yeah.
and so, of
desperately.
Course, yes.
Yeah.
Desperately. So, Constance Zimmer, right, is the lawyer.
Is it? The same.
Yeah, the same as before.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, here again, and Kelly already mentioned this, but he's just, you know, it's just more evidence that Neil still needs a lot of experience. He's doing his best, and he's working hard to prove himself, but he's definitely got a lot to learn. And unfortunately, it looks like he might learn the hard way.
Yeah, and I'm definitely interested to kind of see where this is going to go, because, you know, although he is trying to, you know, make sure that he has facts and get as much proof and all that, he still has to be able to look at a story in a circle versus in just one way. You know, because although, yes, you know, gathering facts and all that is important, but you also have to be careful in the manner in which you gather them.
Mm-hmm.
Completely agree.
And I think that's kind of the lesson there.
Completely agree. Yeah, he kind of just had his, like, laser focus on get the story, I think, at that point.
He forgot mm-hmm. about the journalistic mm-hmm. ethics.
Yeah, the ramifications that could happen.
Yeah. Just because, I mean...
You know, I want to switch gears real quick and just kind of go back. I was just reading something about, like, the new season, and I think it's really interesting being that we are three girls who love this show and recapping it, but, you know, there's still... Aaron Sorkin is still getting a lot of flack for poorly written female characters, apparently. And, you know, I have to say that I truly and wholeheartedly disagree with that. Like, I don't think that it is, you know, that these women are poorly written by any means. I mean, I think that the way he writes, you know, kind of shows, you know, different things, and maybe not, you know, in a manner that, you know, some professional women may feel is appropriate. But, you know, to say that they're poorly written characters, I mean, I just feel that's a bit harsh, especially for the season opener. What do you guys think?
Do you know specifically what they're kind of targeting when they say that?
Well, this one person was recapping and said that, you know, was talking about Maggie and Mackenzie's characters. That, you know, for one, Maggie, she, you know, the only way to turn into a grown-up was to put on a black dress and heels. And I don't think that's really what it was, to change out of her sensible flats and put on a black dress and Louis Vuittons made her a grown-up. I think it was kind of like showing that she, you know, kind of, it was a visual transformation. Yeah. I don't think it was like pounding on feminism. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel like that's not what that was.
It was like a metaphor for her growth. Yeah.
Sure. And even more so, like, when he said, hey, I think she just grew up 10 years, I don't necessarily think, I mean, they might have been talking about her appearance in the dress, you know, and the heels, but I also think it was more so like, hey, she just stepped up to the plate.
Well, that's what I got gathered from it. I didn't.
Right. And they're also saying, you know, she did have 3 years of newsroom, you know, experience. But yeah, don't you remember she was a personal assistant before she became a producer? She didn't really, you know what I mean? Like, she was kind of thrown into it, learning as she went.
Mm-hmm.
And she spent the last year with this PTSD kind of syndrome where she wasn't really, mm-hmm. like, you know, all her whole head in the game kind of a thing. But I wouldn't really call it 3 years of experience. But I don't know. I just feel like that's a bit harsh. And, you know, they talk about Mackenzie in the opening scene, talking about her bridesmaids, that, you know, a woman that's won Peabody Awards and all of this, that, you know, it took the bombing to get her head in the game. I don't think it was that. She's also a woman that's about to get married. Why can't you be both?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you care about your wedding and care about your career? Why does it have to be one or the other?
I completely agree, and I love that you brought this up, because, you know, everybody does have their own opinions about these things, but I have to agree with Kelly. Like, it's completely harsh, and I don't see these women 0% of me sees them as weak. Like, right. Nothing. Like, just as, you know, Kelly mentioned, you know, just because you portray them as a woman who, you know, who's about to get married and she does care about her bridesmaids, who's going to be her bridesmaid, doesn't mean that she's not a hardworking individual, mm-hmm. Who has made a name for herself with hard work and not just, you know, whatever stereotype you might think that a woman would do to get to the top or whatever.
And if anything, it was showing you could have it all. Like, that, you know, I
kind of see that too, that, you know, you can be a little bit, you know, it's okay. You can still be, you know, for the, you know, sake of a cliche term, like a girly girl, but still, you know, be in a man's world successful, if you want to call it that, if this is what our debate is.
And,
you know, woman in this man's world, you know what I mean? And still shine and excel and succeed in that. While caring if you have 9 bridesmaids and 9 groomsmen to go with.
Exactly. Well, and why is nobody saying anything about Will? He's talking about bridesmaids. Is he not?
Right.
Is he not allowed
to be?
What about
Will? Why doesn't he have friends? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why?
These people are human. Aside from their professional, you know, bearings that they've earned, you know, aside from, you know, what their occupation is and what they've accomplished, these people are human beings.
Right. It makes it more human to include, you know, their peripheral stories.
Mm-hmm. Apart from all the goals.
And I don't want to, like, go off on a tangent. I just find it, like, really interesting. I know it's been, like, a topic of conversation in the previous season, and then, you know, just coming out of here now, you know, in this new season, I just thought it was just really interesting that's still kind of a big thing with kind of women in the media and how they see this, these characters being written. So we'll see how it continues and maybe how we see Maggie grow and, you know, how much of a girly girl we see Mackenzie turn into with this wedding, if at all.
Was it women making the comments that you read?
It was.
Or a mix?
I'll tweet it out. It's a recap on Entertainment Weekly.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. So, I mean, it's an interesting article and it's an interesting take, and I'm not, you know, I just happen to not agree with it. I just have a different opinion. But, I mean, it's backed up with some, you know, some stuff here, and it's just an interesting, different take on that.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up there. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, and another thing, if we want to talk about Sloane and her whole deal with Don, I think that's really cute. And that was another thing that was brought up in this recap, is it was kind of fun to see the banter with those two when we didn't really see them making googly eyes at each other. It was just kind of light and cute, you know? I like it that she called him dumb.
I was going to say.
That was really cute.
Her little slight towards him. That was actually really clever.
You know how some girls are okay with their men being short? Well, Don, I'm okay with you being dumb.
And I mean that.
And I really mean that.
That was good.
Really cute. You know, I didn't think that their relationship would be as on the DL as it seems to be in this season. I thought it was going to be a more expressed relationship.
Well, you mean this season?
Like, yeah.
The first episode?
Well, I didn't think so, though, because you got to think of, you know, his whole thing with Maggie and how everybody knew the triangle with Maggie and Jim, and it was such a thing, and it was so dramatic. I can't imagine Sloane wanting that kind of attention, you know?
Yeah, but I thought it would be, like, people knew them as a couple. You know,
not where she's
removing her tag and, like, she can't really say if she's seeing someone when someone asks her.
I thought he did that just so he could get information. You're talking about when she was on the phone?
Yeah. Just overall, you know, she's staying at his place, buying clothes.
Right.
Yeah. So, oh, sorry.
That's okay. So, yeah, I'm just saying overall I thought it would be known, like, by everyone that they're a couple.
Yeah.
Even if they're not flaunting it and having PDA, like, I thought it would be more of a thing. But
she doesn't seem like that type, I don't think, to do the PDA thing.
And neither does Don so much, as we saw from him and Maggie. Maybe I was hoping for it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess this is a good segue into our third topic here, because Sloane is doing some digging here.
Serious digging.
She knows that somebody's buying someone out, right? After a conversation she has with Reese. You know, points are dipping, or they're losing points here as a network. His half sisters are in town.
Half sister and brother, the twin.
Half sister and brother are in town, and, you know, she starts thinking that there's something going on. And because she likes puzzles, she wants to solve this one.
Mm-hmm.
So she's
using her new Bloomberg computer system.
Right.
$24,000.
Yeah. She better know how to use that thing. Which
that thing was gibberish to me.
Right. Just a bunch of numbers on the screen.
Yeah.
But she's very proud of this new piece of equipment. And I don't know what she's doing, but she's digging into the facts there, trying to figure out, you know, who could be buying out who. And, I mean, it's still kind of unclear to me as to what's going on exactly with this possible buyout. But she reveals after her digging, and I'm sorry if I'm moving through this so fast, it's because I'm still trying to, I am not good at, as good at puzzles as Sloan is, so, she announces as everybody's on that terrace when everything is being revealed, like Neil's story and, you know, this whole Boston thing on the terrace, she reveals to Reese and everybody there that you're going to be bought out from right under you. Mm-hmm. That's why your brother and sister-in-law, or steps brother and sister are in town.
Right.
Yeah, because we find out that they are on the board, and it's, well, at least there will be shareholders as soon as they turn 25. And there's two of them, so obviously they're going to hold a majority share over him if they're working as a team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's when, you know, when Sloan gets the tip from the Goldman Sachs chick that she's having, you know, a breakfast meeting with,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, something was going to happen, and she starts digging. It doesn't even... You know, it doesn't even come to her that it could potentially be ACN at all.
Right.
And after she has that conversation with Reese and she kind of looks at the numbers and knows they're going to, you know, drop a few points, when she goes back and looks at it again, it's a lot more than what she originally suspected, and that's when the light bulb goes off.
Mm-hmm. There you
and
go.
She realizes, whoa, when's their birthday? What's happening? You have to call an emergency meeting. I've got to figure this out now.
Right, right. Kelly really got that storyline. Thank you, Kelly, for explaining that to me. Because Kendra and I were sitting there like, wait, what does this mean?
Yeah.
No, I totally had to rewatch that a couple times because I didn't really get it either.
Yeah.
And I might still have it a little bit wrong, so you guys watching... make sure to, tweet us.
Let us know.
Yes. So sound the alarm, though. All this happens, and Reese is like, oh, crap. Like, she might be right.
Getting onto something, yeah.
Yeah, and they, yeah. Jeff, oh, sorry, not Jeff, Will, I was calling him his real name. Will, who just quit about 15 minutes prior, because Reese told him that he had to give them what the viewers want, and they were going back to that again. Like, you know, I want you to have a credible and do the newscast and do the news, but you are not as powerful without those numbers, without your ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, Will says he quits, right?
But it's true. He says, you know, I can't protect you. I can't let you do and say whatever you want if you're not making money.
Right.
And that's just the reality of the business at this point. It's not just about...
Right.
You know, reporting the news, it's a business. And if he's not living up to, you know, the stance and where he was, then, you know, dropping out of fourth place is a big deal. And the shareholders and the board, they're going to have a lot more to say about it.
Right.
And I liked seeing Reese more on their side. I liked that.
Yeah.
Them, you know, fighting so much in the last few seasons.
At least on the same team, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that's when Will sort of wants to... I guess jokingly grab Charlie and go cover sports.
Right.
Which kind of reminded me of Keith Olbermann. I know it was a different situation, right. But it was. Yeah.
I like how Charlie said, are we going to sign up for a team?
Yeah.
Are we going to join a team?
I know that's the first thing that comes to mind. No.
Yeah. But, you know, after Sloan comes in with that, all of a sudden he's reinvigorated, right? He's like, no. We are going to do the news. We are going to do the news. So I love that, you know, even though he still has that fire to save his team and be with his team when something like this happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Good show. It's a good first show.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm happy it's back. And although we only have 6 episodes, I think we're going to cherish these last 6 episodes together.
We should
have a good like newsroom rap party.
It's like
in the studio.
Absolutely,
it's basically like a half season.
I think the last few episodes, the last few seasons had 10 episodes, I think, each.
Yeah.
So we're only getting, you know, we're losing a big chunk of them.
We're going to blink and it's over. Okay, sorry.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought it came on strong. I mean, I love the show. I've loved it ever since the beginning. I mean, we all have, obviously. And it's just, you know, I'm excited to kind of see where everything goes. I want to see how deep in trouble Neil gets. Looks like we're going to see more of Marcia Gay Harding, as, you know, they're calling Rebecca back in to be his attorney. It looks like we'll see, you know, more of her coming up and, you know, a lot of good people on the season coming, you know, in episodes to come.
Right.
So.
Our favorite characters are all here.
Yes.
So, you know, a lot has happened, guys. I think Kendra's going to dig into some news for us.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the main topic of news that I found was, you know, all the chatter about it being the last season. And so I had a little piece that Aaron Sorkin said to The Hollywood Reporter. He says, I know the whole never say never stuff, but I'm pretty certain I'm about to write my last 3 episodes of television. So that's kind of, that's kind of a little... sort of cryptic.
Now. Let's just add the for now. Or let's pray for the for now.
I wonder if under his breath he said for now. You know. But,
in 2014.
We love his work. And I mean, he has other, ideas in mind. So, and then in other news, now I'm calling him by his character. I was going to say Will. Jeff Daniels, kind of said the same thing and that they've all enjoyed the journey, but that you know, they're just going to do 3 and be out. So to paraphrase.
Yeah. Well, and also don't forget, if you want to see another side of Jeff Daniels, Dumb and Dumber 2 is out in theaters.
We should go together. Oh, we can't go with Kelly because she's in Texas, but we'll schedule a time where you're there at a movie theater in Texas and we're at a movie theater
and we'll
in
FaceTime. Yeah, we'll FaceTime. We'll save a seat.
Yeah, that looks like a fun movie. And I love that Jeff Daniels can play such polar opposite types of characters.
Yeah, because I saw clips from the red carpet from both premieres and I was like, how does, you know, it's just, you know.
He's just that awesome.
Yeah. So kudos to Jeff Daniels.
Yeah. Anything else for us, Kendra?
No. Did you guys have anything else?
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, time for predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Whoa. Predictions. Strobe lights in here.
No warning.
Woozy.
I know. Kind of
cool. Okay, I'll go first. I predict that my favorite couple gets back together.
Which one?
Yes. I know there's like
several
so
favorite.
Jim and Maggie. I think they're going to slowly make their way back into each other's arms.
By episode 6?
Yes. No. I hope it happens by 3 so we get a good half season there with them. And I also see Neil going through a fight. I wonder if he's going to dip as low as Maggie did with this whole situation. Because that's a big deal, what he's about to go through.
Because how... I know they mentioned in the preview for the next mm-hmm. episode, you know, unless he gives up his source, he's going to be in bigger trouble. But how, when the guy's kind of a virtual existence to him, will he do that? I mean, I don't know if it was the guy in the bathroom.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got this big dilemma, right? Because he's going to get this guy in trouble if he says
anything.
Yeah. And he's already in trouble for himself.
True. Sorry. Your predictions.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay. What about you, Kendra?
Oh, that was it. Oh, gosh. I guess I predict that we, by episode 6, we'll see a wedding. Maybe that'll be the grand finale.
Ah, there you go.
We'll see 9 bridesmaids or not. Maybe there'll be 9 bridesmaids and his 4 or 5 groomsmen. It'll be like, you know.
Charlie walking up and down the aisle.
Yeah.
9 times.
Okay. That would be kind of cool. Yeah, all the newsroom folk that will fill in. And other than that, I guess I'm on watch for Jim and Maggie. Or maybe Maggie will, you know, meet some new guy.
No. Okay. Kelly.
No.
What about you?
You know, I think Maggie may have a new career on the other side of the camera. I mean, I'd like to kind of see that. I mean, they're short-handed. They're short on anchors.
Hmm.
You know, maybe she gets, you know, to shine a little bit more in front of the camera as the episodes continue. Hmm.
If Will quits, she'll replace him.
Stretch, Kendra. That is a stretch.
I like to just
But I like the direction
stretch
this is going.
The imagination. That's what I'm here for.
Okay, well, it is so good to be back, guys. Thank you, Kendra. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, everybody who's listening in. We are happy that The Newsroom is back. Season 3. We will see you next week.
Oh. Where can they find you?
Oh, you can find me right here on AfterBuzzTV.com and also on Twitter at Sarah with an H Mendoza.
And I'm at Kendra Cabasele, KendraKabasele.
And Kelly.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE079. And make sure to use our hashtag NewsroomABTV and chat with us and tell us what you thought about tonight's episode.
Woohoo! Thanks, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.